Annyeong haseyo. Sangeeta, Poonam and Meenal are back with another episode of Crash Landed on K-Dramas.
Dramas are not just about the good guys, leading ladies and the supporting cast, all the Halmonis, Harabajis who we have talked about so far, but they're also about the bad guys and bad girls. A drama is made wholesome only when you have both good, bad and the grey. So today we're going to talk about some of these villains who are in different categories, like say some villains who are so good that they've overshadowed the main leads. We also have some friendly neighborhood villains who we don't even think that they are the villain, and at the end of the drama you're like, oh my god, Debak, who's this? We did not expect this twist. I think first we should talk about those villains who have overshadowed the main leads, because there are some dramas where you just want to watch because the bad guy is so good in that. The first one villain that comes to my mind is Sky Castle. Kim So Hyung, oh my god, she was just incredible in that. Throughout the drama, you're guessing, is she bad? Is she evil? Is she good? Is she going to turn good or not? You're wondering, where is this going? Is this just about education or is this something more? You just want to know. Oh, by the way, listeners, there is a warning. We will have a lot of spoilers in this episode because this is about bad girls and bad boys. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of dramas, you don't even know who's the bad guy till the end of it. But here we might be discussing about some of them beforehand. So just be aware of that. Kim So Hyung, like I said, in Sky Castle is also one such character. You don't know until midway that, yeah, she is a bad character. Actually, Sky Castle is an ensemble cast. It's not really one single leading lady or leading man or kids, right? It's an ensemble cast. And Kim So Hyung is the only villain. So she's the only bad guy in there. You watch the whole drama and you're constantly thinking about what mind games is she playing? How is she manipulating these kids? How is she doing this? So I think that was very noteworthy.
Do you always know she's the bad woman in the drama?
You definitely get the vibe. In the first few episodes itself, you get the vibe. And then when you see that she's actually trying to peg Kim Bora against the girl she's teaching, and you see that she's constantly trying to pit them against each other or trying to get the other children not get as many marks or points as the children that she's teaching. So that is when you figure it out. You get that vibe. You get that sinister vibe.
Okay, so there is no guessing that who might be the bad lady in the drama. You figure it out soon enough.
Yes, exactly.
So I haven't watched Sky Castle, but just to understand, is she manipulative for a reason? Is there a backstory or she's just like that? She's just pure evil.
So Sky Castle is about the education system. The Sky Castle is a place where all these people who want to get into the premier institutes in Seoul, in Korea, they are staying in that place and working very hard for these exams. So it's about teenagers and these competitive exams. So her motive is only to, it's very similar to a lot of other countries like even India and China, where there is so much competition around these competitive exams and you're constantly behind the children. You're constantly trying to show that you have to sort of get these children up there. You're constantly behind the children, teachers and parents. So that is the main plot of it. So that is her motive. You could say that she has to be the coach, the leader in the industry.
Sangeeta, why did you think that she overshadowed the main lead?
See, like I said, this is an ensemble cast. So there is no main lead also. But the lead characters, there are four main characters, three women and this another lawyer professor father. But still, none of those characters register with you so much. And to an extent, like Meenal pointed out, Kim Young-chan is the only favorite who sort of registers because of his character being so funny more than anything else. You see that and you're like, okay, this obsessive father, I can understand. You know, I've seen this character. Among all those people, it's only Kim So Hyung who will just keep you glued to the screen. You're constantly thinking about what this woman is up to. What is she going to do next?
Yeah, if a villain role is author-backed, as a writer has written it well, the villain head stands a lot of chance overshadowing the hero. In Bollywood, there is always Gabbar Singh, remember?
and the other famous Mogambo. So who can forget these two iconic villains, right?
Who remembers if Anil Kapoor was there in that movie in Mr. India? People remember Mogambo. And I don't know, 30 years down the line, Milan, I don't know when the movie came out. People still remember Mogambo Khushhua. So
of course, Mogambo Khushhua is like very iconic line.
Exactly. Two of my entries are like that. One is the Innocent Defendant, Jisung, and I have talked about Innocent Defendant and Jisung in our second or third episode of the first season. Every time the evil villain did something, Jisung would sound, "Oh, Changmen!" And it was played by this actor called Eun Ki-jun, and he has a double role. He's playing twin brothers, and both brothers are contrasting personalities. One brother is kind because he has always been loved by his father. He's the probably older brother. And the younger one, he has been a victim of abuse at the hands of his parents. He has been mistreated all his life. Sometime during the course of the drama, he takes up his brother's position. He's a second son. And in Chebol families, or even in the anything which is supposedly royal, the second sons don't seem to have very easy way always. So he doesn't hesitate to kill people off. He's merciless. It could be that fact that he did not get a validation, acknowledgement from his own father. He decides to burn the whole world. And he does really bad things. As the name of this drama suggests, Innocent Defendant. He gets an innocent prosecutor who was coming after him in jail on charges of murder of his own wife, and his daughter is missing. Such heinous thing he does. The actor who played Eun Ki-jun, he was pretty good at it. He was pretty good when he came on the screen. He could cause shivers, which is why whenever he did something bad, Jisung would give that like war cry calling his name. Right, Sangeeta? Do you remember anything about it?
Oh yes, I remember this very particular scene where he wants that scene actually sent a chill down my spine. Towards the end of the drama, where Jisung sort of goes to the extent of tracing his DNA and stuff like that. So he goes back to him. I won't give the minute details. So he goes back to him and says that, "I caught you." So in an attempt to cover up that, he goes to the extent of burning his own hands. He touches something hot just so that his fingerprints are not, you know, they're burnt and his fingerprints are not visible. That scene, I did not see that coming. You see that he is such a gruesome character throughout the drama. And it's not a spoiler actually, because right from episode one, you know that this is the bad guy. Because he's constantly, you're trying to see that Jisung is constantly trying to get back at this guy. So you see that he's a bad guy. But that scene was, oh my God.
Yeah. I remember that. He doesn't even take a second to burn his own hands.
Exactly.
And his expression doesn't change at all.
We've not watched Penthouse, but I think he plays another villainous role, which has become very famous and popular among the audience as well. And I was surprised because I thought the face looked familiar, and I went and checked, and he was the nice little doctor in Scent of a Woman.
In Scent of a
Woman. So I'm not able to visualize how evil he can get.
That's what good actors do, like we talked about. One time he's a good guy and one time he's like this evil guy. But you know what? This villain is also interesting. Even though he's merciless, and yet he has a weakness, right, Sangeeta? There were only two people in the world where
he cared about.
Yep, worst villain. The evil villain has something to protect. Till the end, you could not think, or it was so hard. It didn't look like that this villain can ever be brought down.
Exactly. You don't think that he can be brought down with something so simple and subtle, actually. At the end of it, you feel like, okay, this is what, like generally what they say about story writing, right? Or a character. They say that every character has a flaw. There is a weakness somewhere, which is what, affects that character. So that has proven right for that drama, actually. His character also written very well.
Yep, your family is something even the evil villains want to protect, imagine. I want to just make a disclaimer. I do think that as a villain, he is a very memorable one that I remember him even years down the line. But I still have to say that he's as good as Jisung. That's the biggest compliment I can give.
Totally. Totally. In a Jisung drama, we can, I don't know, I don't think, apart from this drama, I don't think we can ever say somebody else is better than Jisung.
Okay, that was the important thing I wanted to say. My other entry is from this drama called Lawless Lawyer. It stars Seo Ye-ji and Lee Joon-gi.
Seo Ye-ji.
So, Lawless Lawyer is set up in a small city, in a bigger city like Seoul or any other place where you would have more parties involved in keeping the law and order of the city. But in a smaller city, the power is in the hands of handful people. And those handful people were colluding with each other and running the whole city to meet their own corrupt interest or their own personal interest. So, this guy used to be a small-time crook in the initial days, and then he's worked his way up in the crime series. And he's now on his way to become respectable businessman. But his entire background is that he is a crook, then he became a murderer, and then he's a Muslim, an enforcer of the judge of that city. And that judge character is also interesting. She's this woman who seems to have the entire power. And this muscle man bows to her. She has a great image as the greatest judge of the country. And she could be any day appointed to Supreme Court. But she chooses not to because she cares for her city. This is where she was born. Her ancestry was there. This judge character is played by the same lady who was the mother in Boys Over Flowers. Lee Hae-young, and she's this frail woman but who has much more power in as a judge of the city, and her respect, that soft power that she commands through the country. She's completely hand in glove with these crooks of the city. All she cares about is collating power for herself and collating money for herself. So this guy, he plays different shades. So there are places where he is like this cruel, ruthless. In fact, he has one crucial murders to his name. And there are other places where he's, prancing about and acting as a respectful businessman. And then there are behind the closed door conversations with this judge where sometimes she makes him kneel.
And he goes on to become a mayor.
Yeah, she makes him a mayor of the city. And he has a very bizarre accent, isn't it, Sangeeta? He speaks very differently. But the way he speaks, he causes me to feel fear. Feels like nothing good is gonna come out of this whole thing.
True. And he's a very good actor, actually. Chaemin Soo, he has done very few dramas. He's more into movies, but brilliant actor. He actually brings that role quite alive. In the last few episodes, you could say an emotional upheaval that he goes through because he gets to know how this judge is backstabbing him also, and how he gets to... You can predict all this by midway only. You can see how this is going to go. But you see that his emotions... He's trying to make sense of the whole thing. And he tells her towards the end that I've been with your family from the time of your father. I've been there with you for so long. She also says that you are my family's dog. Like literally she says that. So,
so villain ko bhi dard hota hai. And she keeps referring to him as dog. And that brings me to an interesting point. Throughout the drama I wondered, and I also pinged Sangeeta. This frail woman, true, she has this ancestry pedigree and she is a judge. How is she ruling these guys? Why are these men, like there are hordes of muscle men who bow and kowtow to her. What is stopping them from, murdering her? I keep wondering how does that work out?
Yeah, that's true. Manipulation totally. And we have to mention her voice, the way she modulates her voice and the scenes where she's trying to be this nice, sweet senior judge to Soye-ji. And the scenes where she's being this authoritative judge and authority figure where she's manipulating this mayor and all the important people of the city. Her voice is like, wow, I think she is one actress who's just phenomenal in whatever she does. I was telling Poonam, in fact, she played a villain in You're All Surrounded also. But I think Lawless Lawyer was much more sinister and evil and more powerful than what she did in You're All Surrounded.
So which was the last one before we jump to our other category?
Yeah, that one was voice, right?
Yeah, it surprised me a lot because I quite liked Kim Jae-wook in Coffee Prince as this demure guy from Japan, so in love with the lady, very quiet in the background. And then to see him, again, it's not really a spoiler. By the first or second episode, people have figured out that isn't it?
Not exactly. They build up the serial killer character right from the beginning. And in the first few episodes, the way he has that conversation with the daughter, as in the female lead who has the special abilities of hearing, when you have this conversation, you kind of can tell he's an educated guy. And slowly, based on the reactions of anybody who has seen him, you basically get a sense this is a well-respected, powerful guy from a community. That much they have built up. They also show you how his choice of method of killing is very different than other serial serial killers, by the way.
Very cruel. It sent chills down my spine, okay? Even thinking about it.
Yeah, typically you use methods to cut and etc. And he also explains why he chose that particular method of killing, to just crush people. And you know that this is somebody, a member of a rich society, well-educated, not like your usual serial killer backgrounds. And when the reveal happens, he does full justice to it. My favorite role of his, even after watching his dramas, Her Private Life, I still love that role where he played the guy from who lived in Japan in Coffee Prince. And to see that sweet, empathetic boy as this ruthless one, remorseless killer, was a bit difficult, but, you know, very believable.
And I was reading up and I hope I'm correct about this. He didn't really have a lead rom-com role. So to take on this role and not get slotted and then come up with Her Private Life, where a lot of females went bonkers over his role in Her Private Life. Again, it shows the versatility in these actors, right? To convince you that they are evil.
Oh, the pretty face, Meenal.
Oh, the pretty face, you're right. But I would have been scared to watch him again, and yet he pulled off another rom-com role as well. So
he had a different way of speaking, which is what the lady who recognizes voice recognizes, that he's cracking thing. And that's like a good villain design, if I may say so, where you have something to stand out that, okay, this has to be him.
One thing, and the reason I'm not going to speak about Mouse is, one, it will give away too much to the viewers. You both have also not watched it, so I don't want to spoil anybody's experience. But the parallels I drew is, in Mouse and here, both the killers, psychopathic killers, in influential positions, in very doing excellent in their profession, no remorse, absolutely no remorse, no guilt. And they thought they were good enough to play gods to decide who lives and who doesn't live. And to me, I cannot fathom how evil a person can be. Those parallels stood out for me when you guys mentioned voice, and I was thinking about a Mouse story.
He was playing the god. That god complex was part of his psychopathic design. And look at that. His kill place was in such a plush area, almost at the coast. I was like, wow. Every time I've looked at like dingy basements for serial killers, and he has this house where you can hear the splash of tides and river. Oh my god. This is a difference.
They tried to bring the angle of the father playing a role in how he turns out to be. But personally, I wasn't convinced. I just thought he was pure evil, and his father didn't realize that there's something wrong with my boy, but didn't really do anything to help him out of it either. So he just let him be.
Exactly. He didn't want to do anything.
Totally. Similar to Flower of Evil. That's exactly what the reporter character tells his parents at the end of it.
Sometimes I feel like these parents are more evil to unleash this sort of shit to the society. He had an idea something is wrong, but he found people to kind of manage it so that he can live. Imagine the kind of parent you have to be to nurture your serial killer child.
True.
But very you true. Think he overshadowed Jang Hyuk, because this is the one role of Jang Hyuk that I have seen where his personality was to hide himself. He had to be like one guy who had gone into his shell. He was grief-addled. This is the one drama where, you know, he's not stealing scenes just by standing in there. He's dressing. You know, it was also nondescript.
I don't know. I really like Jang Hyuk in this series. So
no, he is good. But you know, he is charismatic and he is not projected as a charismatic person.
Yeah, generally Jang Hyuk, when he's there on screen, you don't see anybody else. But this is one drama where you notice Kim Jae-wook also. You see this guy and you're like, oh wow, that is one brilliant actor.
Poonam, you brought about the point of bad parenting where the dad let the son just go on his evil killing spree. I think that struck in terms of probably the most famous character or iconic character for Yoo Jae-myung. I think two of them there are. There's Stranger and then there is Itaewon Class. But I think Itaewon Class, I enjoyed it a lot more, his performance, because he was such a cold, manipulative businessman who is also such a bad parent, who not only teaches bad things and sets the bad examples for his child, but when it comes where you think a parent will always save his child, he actually thinks only of himself. And that scene also got me wondering, how can parents be like this towards their kids? So I think that's one character we really need to talk about.
Totally. And I think because you drew the parallel with Stranger, in fact, in Stranger, his character is a little gray.
Correct.
See that, especially towards the end, you understand why his character is gray. But in Itaewon class, it's like, wow.
You are not conflicted at all. At least with the son, you feel a little bit of conflict, but not with
that's
him.
What I was about to say. With the son, at the end of it, you feel like, you feel sorry for him.
Correct.
But this guy, you're like, oh God.
So the son conflict thing, Itaewon class, there was a drama. When it ended, I was into huge conflict for a variety of reasons. A, in dramas, I like to see a guy dedicated to one heroine and not change his loyalties to Kim Dami, however cool she is, okay? So I actually was complaining to Minal at that time. And the second thing was, like, I kept waiting for the moment when the redemption would for the son would come, because he did seem to have true feelings for the second female lead. He actually wanted to do good by her. He was true to her, even if his father was not true to him. His father had abused him. That's how he had brought him up. He never told him what is right or wrong. He never told him how to correct yourself if you made a mistake. He just let him do the shitty things and kept supporting him. That's how in childhood the whole story starts for the villain and the male lead. And he encouraged that. So I do feel that the father was completely evil and he doesn't deserve any kind of redemption. But for the son, I felt like, sure, he should pay for what he did, but at least get him on the right. So I know I complained to Meenal, this was not right. My heart was unsettled and she was like, this is not even worth considering. I don't care about it. And somehow that settled my heart. I was like, yeah, why should I wait for redemption for your minor characters? Her clear thought actually settled my heart.
Because I, like Poonam said, right, Kim Dami issue, even I did not agree to that whole love story. Okay, I'm like, it just doesn't fit right with me. But what I liked is, they try to redeem all these evil characters in most K-dramas, right? Make you feel sympathy, sorry for it. He's dying. His business is failing. And there is this noodle broth scene where he goes to Park Seroy to apologize for his faults. And I'm thinking, hang on, isn't this a bit late for you to do that? And it's probably because Park Seroy has given you a checkmate. You have no escape, right? So your escape is your apology. I didn't think it came from the heart. And I like the fact that Park Seroy's businessman comes out and says, do you think your apology is going to suffice? And I'm a businessman at the end. So I loved that that punchline which came through. I said, you deserve this. You actually deserve this. Because, very interesting, I don't know if you guys remember, Park Seroy's dad created a dish which actually saved him from the financial crisis. And he doesn't even acknowledge it. He just gives us some watch or something to his dad and doesn't hesitate to get revenge on the father. So he was a very selfish character. Didn't deserve any forgiveness.
At the heart of it, it's a revenge drama. True. But it's a very good way to take revenge. That childhood incident that happened to Park Sirohi, which could have been completely avoided by that evil chairman father. There was no reason to go so cruel and ballistic over the little things between two
Correct.
Kids. Thing was the background why Park Sirohi wanted to start a restaurant in Insadong.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever that popular place in Korea was. And he wanted to start that. That's the only thing he lived for. That's an interesting way to avenge yourself.
Yeah. So talking of bad parenting, it's not just parenting, it's like adults who hurt kids or who abuse kids. That is also a problematic area, right? There are multiple dramas which have dealt with this subtler ways, which are not the main plot line whatsoever. But in Kill Me, Heal Me, again, that is a drama which is centered around that. Someone is abused and the male lead thinks that he's the one who was abused. It affects him to the extent that he develops this dissociative identity disorder, and the whole drama is about that, how he gets to kill each of these personalities. He develops this condition and you slowly see the backstory to it. You don't understand in the initial episodes what happened to him and why is this happening. And in fact, the story unfolds in a very different way, the way the plot goes on, you won't guess how it's going to end up. There's a lot of little things that they leave, hints that they leave through the episodes. But at the end of it, when you get to know, it's actually, they don't show you any abuse. In fact, it's hardly shown on the screen. You only see that the father figure, who's An Nae-sang, he's just walking in. You only see that. And you can understand from the way the whole plot is narrated and how Ji-sung reacts to those scenes. You can only imagine. You can only think of it. but it's so scary. It actually scares you. He's, Anya Sang is, you can say he's literally a cameo in that, because he's not there throughout all the episodes. He's there only in this past episodes where they show it, and there are a few episodes where he's trying to show remorse. At the end that you see, you don't feel so sorry for him. Neither does the male lead or the female lead. But just that, to think of it, how they have showed in the whole plot without actually showing the villain, without actually showing the deed, but still sending a chill down your spine. I think Kill Me, Heal Me did a fabulous job of that. What do you think, Poonam? How creepy did you feel was that character?
It is always hard not to be affected to see bad parent character. Let me just put it that way. No matter what age we are, the child in us always remains. So if you see a bad, cruel parent on the screen, especially to a character that you can relate to, for me, it's very hard to bear. I have experienced it in many other dramas and movies as well. Maybe it is my weak point personally, but it does feel extremely painful. Is it not for you guys?
It does. I start feeling lucky and privileged to have had such good parents, so much love in your life, and to see a child not get the love of a parent, because that's the closest, this is the only person you know first when you're growing up, right? You don't have friends, if you don't have siblings, you don't know those different kinds of love. The most important love for you is parental love, and if that doesn't come through, it leaves a big scar on a kid's mind, and it hurts me. It hurts me a lot.
It's the foundation that you have in the childhood. It's something that you are going to base your entire life on. I cannot ever say that your child abuse is a justification for you to be a serial killer. Just because something bad happened to you doesn't justify you to hurt others. That's a different conversation altogether. But that emotional gap, if you don't get the love from your parents, does leave you mentally vulnerable throughout your life, and you make bad decisions, bad relationships. That keeps happening. Meenal, you said one right thing, which is one famous saying. This: if you have had good parents and good education, you already have the highest privilege than many other kids in the whole wide world. You already are two steps ahead from rest of the kids in the world.
Absolutely.
And the next kind of evil, like when we talk about parents, the only other kind of evil that you can see is stepdad or stepmom.
At least that one you expect, in a manner of speaking.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, they've been much maligned thanks to our first introduction through Cinderella story in our life.
And isn't it such a convenient plot line
exactly,
for any writer?
Exactly, exactly.
Just put an evil stepdad or stepmom and you're sorted with the villain. You don't have to worry about the villain.
No need to give justifications, backstories, nothing.
Yeah, human mind can understand that. What we cannot understand is why would a real parent do that?
Exactly. True. Absolutely.
So Can You Hear My Heart is also another drama where it's the stepdad who does a lot of evil things. It's a long drama. It's a relatively long drama. It is not 16 episodes. It's 30 episodes. And it has your favorite Meenal, Nam Gung Min. And it's one of his very good roles, actually. I don't want to reveal anything about his role, because his role is actually quite brilliant in that. It doesn't go as you wish right from the beginning, but it's very good. So Can You Hear My Heart also, the evil stepdad, oh my God, the extent to which he goes just for the money and the greed. Lee Hae Young plays the mother. Her character is, I wouldn't say gray also, but a very protective mother. She's so blinded by her motherly love that sometimes she doesn't see what is good or what is bad. So that line blurs for her. And that is where you feel sorry for Nam Gung Min too a bit. But the character, the stepdad character in that also, it's a very heart-rending drama throughout. Like a melodrama, you feel very bad for both the male lead and the female lead because of the whole thing that they go through. But it's a good drama. It's at the end of it, you feel very good about it.
Yeah. Do they redeem the father?
No, they don't.
Good. Sometimes some people should be evil and left at it.
Exactly.
Agree. Sometimes you're like, please don't make me like this person anymore. I mean, you're after telling me through 15 episodes that how bad they were, in the 16th episode, you cannot say that they changed.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. And you cannot make peace with, even if it is the father or the son or whatever it is, whoever are the good guys, they are trying to forgive or whatever. You cannot make peace with it. Dude, how can you? I don't forgive him.
I fully support
him. I don't forgive him. How can you forgive?
I cannot forgive.
Sangeeta, why was this stepfather standout for you? Do you remember any particular act that he did which made you be angry with this person? And who is the actor who was playing
it? It's Song Sung-hwan. He's a character. So the most evil deed, like you said, what is the thing that really makes you feel creepy about him? It's not actually what they show on screen or what you see the actor doing, but the way the plot develops. The reason why it is titled Can You Hear My Heart is because the male lead is deaf. He'll only read lips and he communicates with everybody. He can speak, but he cannot hear. Why? Because the stepdad has ruined his hearing.
Ouch.
He does something to his hearing. So that is what creeps you out. So you're like,
ouch.
How can you subject somebody to that? And like a little kid, just because you're so greedy for his money, you don't even know how that kid is going to grow up. And probably he'll respect you. Probably he'll give you all the respect and whatever you need as a stepdad or father, whatever it is. But he doesn't do that. So that is what creeps you out.
This is indeed unforgettable.
Yeah.
I think now I will remember it.
So the whole drama is about, again, how this guy grows up and he takes revenge on his stepdad. They know the injustice that he's done to them and everything. So he takes his revenge on the stepdad and you don't feel so sorry at the end of it.
Yeah, so these family members, the terrible ones that we have talked about, these are not your out and out serial killers and murderers. These are sometimes even unseen because they're the everyday villains that you meet. These are the everyday people that you live with or you share your life with or suddenly run into. Similar characters would be like a doctor that you meet. So I have such doctor characters in mind. So one of them, even thinking of his character, I feel like my skin crawls. It was done so plainly and innocently, and maybe that's why the impact is much. So this guy, he is a doctor in this drama called Doctors, which stars Park Shin-hye. Her grandmother, who is a cherished grandmother, she has cancer and she goes to see this particular doctor that I'm talking about. Again, he is incompetent doctor. He's trying to make more money. When he's seeing the grandmother, he wasn't chairman of the hospital yet, but eventually he's power hungry and he will climb the steps of hospital hierarchy and become chairman himself, which is what the entire drama would be about. But he speaks so nicely to the granny, and even though he knew there was a risk with the surgery, even though his skill was not good, he knew that he could botch it up. He goes ahead and does that operation and kills granny, and he doesn't deliver the news to Park Shin-hye properly. He never apologizes. He's remorseless. I cannot use the word ruthless because this was sheer incompetence and lack of empathy, but not like he's an out and out murderer. Doctors is also in a way a revenge drama where Park Shin-hye, she makes it her life's mission. Even though she has no resources, no money, she decides that she will become a doctor herself and work in the same hospital where this incompetent doctor's daughter studies. And that's where the rest of the drama will take place. But you know, the way this man was conducting his conversations, this actor was conducting his conversations, I actually felt creeps. So when I saw him coming up in Startup and I was like, oh god, nothing good can happen now. He's just a shitty guy. I was screaming about this criminal and she reminded me, but no, he was in a good role in Shopaholic Louis. He was the butler. I was like, oh god.
He has a very creepy character in Tale of the Nine Tailed also.
He gives you the creeps. But I was just trying to say, no, he's done a nice guy role. Let me get you into that mode.
I think it is a sign of good acting that when I think of that role and then when I see that actor again, I feel the creeps. It's Om Hyo Soop. I try not to watch more of it because of this thing.
But he and Kim Soon Young were very cute in Shopaholic Louie, actually. Their relationship, it was really nice.
I agree. So you reminding me that made me think like I shouldn't think of it that way. I should just think of it as a evidence of good acting.
Yeah, that's true. Our Mr. Bang from Suspicious Partner, Jang Hyuk Jin, he plays this doctor, like Poonam said, an incompetent doctor. Who just wants to slide up or, you know, slide up in the... I don't think he can slide up the hospital ladder also because he doesn't have so much talent. So he just wants to save his place and make sure that he's getting enough money or whatsoever. Try to be nice with the hospital bosses. So that's all he does. But the more evil character is Cho Jin-ho. His character starts off very gray. You can see that, okay, this guy is, again, power and greed playing. And actually, half the drama, you don't understand why the hell is he making life so difficult for Kim Sabu. Kim Sabu is a key character played by Han Suk-kyu. So you keep wondering, why is he doing all this? But as the drama develops, you see that it's just sheer, one-upmanship. He just wants to show who's the boss. is like, okay, you have, there is a past to it, and he is angry with Han Suk-kyu for a reason. Han Suk-kyu is also angry with Chojino for a reason. So you see that this past is there, but still you can leave the past, because anyway Han Suk-kyu has moved on to somewhere else. He's working in this rural hospital, which is a sister concern of this hospital, but still, it's not, you don't have to have any sort of power struggle or whatsoever. But as you see, you just see that this guy has to have that last say. You see that he's constantly going after him, trying to make his life hell. And he has this deep baritone voice with which he delivers those lines so coldly. You're like, oh my God, let me not ever come across this guy in my life.
These are doctors from hell. Imagine meeting them in your personal life ever. They don't care about their patient at all. They only care about their survival, their own thing. They don't come with a tag that this is a villain, because they have some other teeth to show you, as in they behave okay with you, but they don't have your best interest at all. And they just treat their patients like insects, maybe. I don't know. Are there any other professionals, everyday villains that you girls can think of, and you have watched those in K-dramas?
Yeah, so for me, recent one, Vincenzo, where the villains became really, really popular. So the main one was, I don't know what is it with villain names, surnames, starting with Jung. Even the villain in Vincenzo was Jung Jun-woo, I think. Yes. So that seems to be synonymous. But the person that actually caught my eye was Kim Yo-jin, who played Choi Myung-hee. And by the second episode, you know she's evil. She's a lawyer. And when you go through Vincenzo's 20 long episodes, you think, yeah, there will be something to explain why she is what she is, why she's become so power hungry, why she's so greedy. She's a woman in a man's world trying to establish herself. Something went wrong with her. Nothing. Again, a lady without any remorse. And what's her motivation? Just power. She's so ruthless. She doesn't directly murder people, but she plots murders very ruthlessly, extremely ruthlessly. The two chilling scenes for me were, how do we associate food? We associate food with love, right? Mostly it's a symbol of love. She's having her dinner, the sushi and the stir fries and everything. And she picks up the phone and she says, you can start now. And the first murder happens. And it's repeated again. Okay. So to me, how she could be like this, how did they portray her? And the other villain, the only, I think, complaint I have about Vincenzo villains, and probably this could create a bit of an outrage if people listen, is I thought both of them, O.K. Tachyon, who plays the chairman, and the lawyer, both were very over the top. A lot of histrionics, a lot of over expressions. I personally like to see little cold-blooded villains. There was too much of drama happening around both of them. I was a bit bored at the end of it. But as a character, she got a lot of praises. And I was reading about her, and she's a big, big philanthropist in real life. She's completely in contrast to what her character in Vincenzo was. But she did say it was the most challenging role of her career. So yeah, she's a good portrayal in my view.
And like you said, Meenal, so much drama that happens. And for nothing. actually. Because initially, I haven't finished the drama, but I've seen like midway, like some 10 episodes I've seen. Yes, I did watch 10 episodes. You know, it is midway.
It is midway.
So in those episodes, like as you see that she's trying to get into Johan Jun's company and she's starting out, when you see that Ok Tae-kyun is also in the same company and you know that he's the villain.
Correct.
By that time you figure
it. You've guessed it out. Yeah.
Exactly. And then you're probably thinking, you know, maybe her character is not evil, you know, maybe it is a plot to get to this guy or something like that. And you see that it's not happening at all.
Exactly. So I just kept waiting that there will be redemption. And see, I think what is Johan Chul's law firm, there are law firms who cater to corrupt companies, right? And you are covering up their misgivings. But she crosses the line, and this is where Johan Chul also says this, by plotting murders. And that's taking it to another level.
True.
Right? The company doing murders and you covering up, but you plotting murders was something which is where she crosses the line completely, in my opinion.
True.
So, yeah, it was a bit hard to digest. They meet very bad deaths. And that is where it conflicted me with Vincenzo, okay? And to me, he's more of an anti-hero than a hero. So it's gruesome. It's gruesome the way their murders are also carried out. Okay. So no normal human being will do that. So there were lots of conflicts on that series. Another evil we have to talk about, and one of you should kickstart, is our favorite Kim Hae-suk in Pinocchio.
Kim Hae-suk, villain or no villain, she's a very good mom. That much.
Exactly. I'm glad you said this. First 10 episodes, I was just admiring what a lovely mother she is. What a doting mom she is.
Yeah, exactly. Even when she's getting arrested and all, you see that, oh, I mean, ultimately as a mom, she's so sweet. She's so good.
You both are forgetting that this is a bad boy and bad girls episode. Please get on with the part where Kim Hae-suk is a bad girl.
Go on, Sangeeta. I'll add in.
Oh, yeah. Pinocchio has so many gray characters, right? Even the female lead's mom, they have this past again. Lee Jong-suk and Park Shin-hye, between the both of them, there is this past. And you see that the female lead, Park Shin-hye's mom, is the cause of that, the bad things that they have in the past. There are so many such gray characters, yeah. All said and done. Pinocchio has all these gray characters. But still, the sweet, loving mom, who you don't suspect to be somebody who is doing all the bad things and who's evil, you get to see that she's actually the bad guy. She's actually the bad woman. And you're like, wow, I did not see this coming.
There's one incident, how she manipulates the store incident where the father steals the bag. And then she manipulates it to market her own product. And when a son questions her, she justifies it with a pretty rational logic. I was like, how? And very calmly, no losing temper, no. Throughout, her tone is like
exactly
loving. And you're like, she's manipulating you, boss. But you're not getting it because she's so adorable.
Actually, now that you say it, Meenal, I think your voice plays a very important role, more so in negative characters than in positive characters. When you see the actual evil coming in, you wonder, oh, okay.
The only time, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think she loses her temper, I say, is only a couple of scenes in the entire stretch, okay? Even though she's losing, she's carrying on with her quiet, calm tone, which is, it's her acting credentials, yeah, as simple as that.
It is. Like I said, she has some X factor. When she is bad, she has some X factor in badness as well.
Exactly.
When she is good, she has that X factor in that. True. I watched some of her as a role as a mother in Hospital Playlist. We already talked about Startup Grandma.
Yeah.
But even in Hospital Playlist, warm, fuzzy feeling is what she manages to give for the few seconds that she is on
True.
The screen. Similarly, in this one, she gave a very controlling, scary sort of vibe when she is there on the screen. I don't know. Maybe she has a control the air around her.
Totally.
Going again of everyday villains, and I think we talked about bad parents, right? I think bad coaches also play and can ruin a kid's psyche when they are growing up. And Racket Boys, though it's a very wholesome, light-hearted drama, the main plot revolves around how one star player gets damaged in childhood thanks to a coach who's so manipulative. And it's so scary because the coach has a prejudice against single parents. And I think this bias exists within, I don't know, across cultures. And it probably exists within Korea as well, about single or divorced parents. And he tries to fleece money by manipulating them, saying it would hamper the kids' coaching. And he keeps bullying them mentally and physically and abusing also, which was a bit scary to watch at that point. So Poonam, you want to add, because you...
That actor has a cameo. He is there only for like barely two episodes. That's what good actors do. And yet he managed just to repulse and disgust you and make you angry. And the actor is Ho
exactly.
Sang-tae, because I looked him up because he was also one of the villains of Beyond Evil.
Right.
When we're talking about all the professionals, the last people that you would think that they could do anything to you would be somebody who would help you in the house. The house... keepers or housemaids, that you would say, they are the housekeepers from hell, like we would call it. There are quite a few K-dramas with characters like that.
It's an Asian version of Butler Did It.
Yeah. Best way to put it. That's true. The Butler Did It. So the two dramas that we want to mention in this category, we don't want to give away a lot by speaking so much what goes into it and why it is. But the reason we want to speak about is because these two women actually played those roles incredibly well. And just the drama names we give, because even if we give too much about why they did what they did or whatever, the the suspense goes away. So we don't want to do that. In both Wild Romance and Blade Man. So I'll talk about Blade Man. In Blade Man, Lee Mi-suk is this housekeeper. Right from the beginning, you see that Lee Dong-wook plays this gray character. There is something wrong with him. He has some sort of problems. Like he's going through some sort of a mental illness, that you see that. You see that she is his housekeeper. As a drama progresses, you do not suspect her until the last minute. So I don't want to give why, but the reason we want to mention is Lee Mi-suk stands out in the drama. If you have to watch the drama, it is only for her you need to watch, not even for Lee Dong-wook, but for Lee Mi-suk. Poonam, you want to talk about Wild Romance?
Yeah, only thing that I want to speak about Wild Romance is the housekeeper character is pretty interesting. She's played by an actor called Lee Bo-hee. She's, on first impression, seems to be a caring person who accepts you no matter how you are. And she seems to be very supportive to her employer, who is Jock. His name is Park Myo-yoon. He seems to depend a lot on her, as any famous or celeb would do, to run their household efficiently. However, during the course of things, you figure out things around him, what is happening to him, which seem to be because of his bad temper, aren't exactly what they seem. And turns out different people in his life, people he is closely associated with, are doing something unspeakable to him. And they believe they are doing it of their own volition, because somebody has been emotionally manipulating them. For example, there is a woman who is trying to be mother. That was the cause there, Sangeeta. I've forgotten that part of the second male lead's wife, who tries to harm his Lee Dong-wook's girlfriend. What was the issue? I think she manipulated him because she couldn't become a mother.
No. Because her mom, she thinks that the Jessica, who's Lee Dong-wook's girlfriend, she's a better painter than her.
Better painter, sorry.
She keeps putting her down.
The fact that people who seem pretty normal, caring, can turn out to be something that you hadn't thought of and how, is something that K-drama has done well. Like Sangeeta says, there is a drama called The Suspicious Housekeeper, where the name itself forces you to think, okay, there is something suspicious about the housekeeper. I looked up something about it. It probably doesn't end that way, but that's a genre which I realized after we started discussing these things.
And talking of Wild Romance, a scene where you actually discover she is the one who's obsessed with Park Myo-yeol, and she's the one who's orchestrating all this. They show it. It's a very visual scene. You will understand when you watch the drama. I don't want to tell why it is visual also. But the moment you see that, your jaw drops. You just see that, wow. I mean, I did not think that this person is behind all this. And this person is obsessed so much with Park Myo-yeol.
And they give a special motivation reason. But problem is, if I reveal that, that gives the whole game of the drama away. But there is a very compelling motivation why something like that happened.
Totally.
Yeah, when we talk about the housekeepers and terrible family members, we have to talk about Boyfriends from Hell. And this is a subgenre that we have seen in Korean dramas. There is Touch Your Heart, there is Law School, there is Secret. I used to see this in US shows as well, where a woman is on the run from her abusive husband and they cannot just get away and cops are not helpful. But in K-drama, boyfriends turn out to be extremely terrible. In Touch Your Heart, a female lead who is a successful actress, her entire career is smashed away because a Chaebol manipulates her, stalks her, and nobody believes her, because when it comes to Chaebol or a celebrity, obviously Chaebol has more power in Korea. A similar story comes up where a boyfriend is manipulating the girlfriend. The case that they work on, Sangeeta, right? She changes her password to her house. She changes everything, but the boyfriend manages to find that. I think every woman should watch that particular case, because I also learned certain tips on how your security can be compromised.
Yeah,
I mean, another, like, Law School was pretty terrifying, and you start getting hints right up in the first 2-3 episodes. You realize from the girl's behavior itself, she's demure, she's not very confident. And I think that constant bashing that happens, or where he's actually making her feel guilty for getting into the law school while he did not, plays out. it is physical abuse, but there is a lot of verbal abuse happening in that relationship. And to me, the guy was really creepy. And I felt terrible for the girl, what she has to go through. And I don't think we should talk in much in this depth about what she goes through, because that's the crux of the three episode trial and how she gets out of it. But yeah, to me, he was creepy again with no remorse, completely faking for his own selfish interests. Terrible, terrible guy.
What breaks my heart is that these women don't seem to have any other support from police, from anybody who is kind of holding up the law, from family members. It's like that society does not see their terror, their fear, how they are being manipulated by somebody who is supposed to take care of them, protect them. They are being manipulated by that very same person. And which is why they say the abusive relationships are bizarre. They're addictive in a manner of speaking. It's not easy to get away. It's a cycle, because if this is a person you did love, and when they beg and you think that, okay, they will improve, forgive, but they don't.
Yeah, but it's a natural human tendency to think that, yeah, if I say sorry or I forgive, he will see the light of the day and he'll turn back to nice, but he's never going to do that.
And when they finally summon up entire strength to break away, these men turn into evil stalkers and they don't let them go. Their entire life is threatened.
Emotional blackmail happens. And by the way, again, he was also in a power position. So he uses all the political clout and the wealth, his wealth clout, to pull her down, and she's helpless.
But the worst boyfriend from hell, nobody can be worse than Secret. Oh God, I mean, the way he manipulates her throughout, how much she puts up with, despite having support of Jisung, who is a chebol. Besubin plays the boyfriend, ex-boyfriend. But the amount of torture that he puts through and so much trauma that she goes through, she even takes up his crime on her, which you see right in episode 1. He has committed an accident. He killed Jisung's girlfriend, but she takes it upon her because he's an upcoming lawyer and she doesn't want his career to get hit. She thinks that, okay, it's a jail term, I'll serve and come back and we'll be happily ever after.
But Sangeeta, that's the stupidest thing to do. Why would any woman ever take up a crime on herself? And you know what? She didn't even step out of the car and see who was hit.
Exactly. Yeah. Your rational mind cannot make peace with that. You cannot understand how the hell can this happen. But when you see it, your skin just crawls. You just feel so icky and grossed out by this guy, but everything that he does. And you feel like, why is she even putting up with him? That is one really, really pathetic boyfriend character.
You are grossed out because initially he behaves all lovey-dovey and he says the right thing, he does the right things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, somewhere a transformation happens or his true self shows, and he is more than willing to let his girlfriend take the fall for himself. I remember there is one scene where she is in jail and she has given birth to their baby and they are sharing this loving looks. And you know what he is doing behind her back. I was like, true. Oh God, no. Let me not see this sort of things.
And she is so besotted with him that it takes so long for her to realize that he is the bad guy. He is the one who is ruining her life. So when you see that, you feel so sorry for her. And even Jisung, he throughout the drama is like, why are you like this? How can you put up with this? Why are you doing all this?
Yeah, he started as somebody who will take her down because he thought that she killed his girlfriend, and then slowly the characters grow.
But y'all have been saying that these guys, they are terrifying, they are everyday villains, etc. But we've seen in dramas where villains were really twisted, and it took us some time to digest why the person is like this, how twisted can somebody get, and or to even try to understand the psyche of why the person is turned out the way it is. So I want both of you, because I think you have seen a couple of ones which are pretty strong characters, which can give you the creeps and send chills down your spine. So let me know your picks.
The most recent drama, one of the recent dramas, The Devil Judge. Both the foundation chairman, initially she's not the chairman, she's just the secretary to the chairman. And you see the president's character. Right from the beginning, you can see that they're not very good characters. Okay, you really don't see that they could be this evil, but you see that they're not the good characters. They are on the bad side. But as the drama progresses, especially the president's character, it just grosses you out. At least the foundation president, Kim Min-jung, who plays the secretary who goes on to become the foundation president, she has a past, she has a very sad past, and she at least empathizes with people who have had a past similar to her. But the president is simple evil, and he's so disgusting that whenever he comes on screen, in fact, whenever we were watching, Poonam was like, Sangeeta, I can't watch this guy. He's just getting on my nerves. So he is so irritating. And Devil Judge is actually set in a dystopian system. So you see that things are not the same as you see in the real world. There is a lot of difference in terms of technology and in terms of societal structure and everything. But even then, this guy's role creeps you out.
I dislike both the villains, not because that they are villains we are supposed to dislike. I hate their acting. The chairman lady that you spoke about, she was Hina Kudo in Mr. Sunshine, Meenal. And do you remember how she speaks in Mr. Sunshine? A bit poetically, softly and all.
Yeah.
She is speaking the same way as an evil chairperson. I just cannot tell you how annoying I find that. And the president character that Sangeeta described, he's totally over-the-top madman. He acts as a stupid madman. Even in the drama play, he play acts. Eventually, it gets totally out of the hand. Honestly, being my favorite scenes in The Devil's Judge is when Jisun comes in. My God, he flaunts. He was also a showman in the drama, but he does it so well and he's very flamboyant to watch. I loved it till episode 7, but after that I'm hanging in there, or if I manage to finish it, it will be purely because I like Jisun so much and he's so cool in it.
Another villain that really creeps you out is, I can hear your voice. It's sort of a serial killer story only. I can hear your voice. And both the male lead and the female lead go through a lot because of his murders. Lee Bo-young, she plays the lawyer. And Lee Jong-suk, he's much younger than her. He's just going through college and he interns with her and they work together and all that. And then they realize their past connection after a point. Jang Woong-in, who plays this negative character, whenever he comes on screen and when you see that he is definitely going to do something evil to either of them, you just freeze. You just wonder, there's something really bad that's going to happen, and you really freeze. Till the end, when they fight with him and he gets punished, you really don't feel at peace. So he's one terrifying villain for me.
One villain that I remember, because that villain is self-loathing himself, that is the guy in While You Were Sleeping. The name seems close to the Hollywood movie, but it is not. So this guy starts as a normal everyday lawyer who just makes his living defending the crooks until the day he himself becomes a criminal. And I don't want to give away too much about the crime, because lots of court scenes and lots of drama are based on that. This villain is self-aware. They know how shitty they are. He has a thing. He keeps washing his hands so badly to the point that his skin is coming off. That's how much he self-loathes. And yet, that doesn't stop him, or that doesn't let him reform himself. He just keeps doing the things that he keeps doing. Have you ever come across a villain like that who is so self-aware?
You almost feel sorry, right?
Yeah. It's almost only.
One more drama where Lee Mi-suk plays this real evil woman is Money Flower. Money Flower is one drama I really recommend to everybody who really enjoys these power plays, because it's all about business and power play. Who's going to be the smarter one here? Right from the beginning, there's no romance. Jang Hyuk uses female lead also in his ploy, for which he forgives him, but I don't, because that was very mean of him. But Lee Mi-suk, her character, she is pure evil in that. And Jang Hyuk has to really plot so much. He has to wait for years to take revenge on her. He actually tries to be nice to her. He goes and actually works for her to cover up the nonsense that she and her son do all the time, and work to get the inheritance to her. But she is actually her stepson, and the kind of torture that she puts him through in his childhood, and she kills his mom actually, which you get to know in the very first few episodes. So her character is pure evil. Throughout Money Flower, you feel so bad for Jang Hyuk, and when you see that he's being so ruthless, you feel, why is he being so mean? Like Jang Hyuk being the male lead, why is he so ruthless? You can actually empathize with him as you go through, because you see what she's done to him, what she's still doing.
all the villains that we discussed till now, we were not conflicted in terms of whether they are the bad guys or good guys. No grays, they were the bad guys. We were very clear. The next one that I'm going to mention, I was not conflicted. I think even Poonam was not conflicted. But a lot of forums, when I was obviously new to K-dramas and trying to find out what people are talking, they were severely conflicted on this villain who evoked a lot of sympathy, was Dong Ha playing Jung Hyun Soo in Suspicious Partner. I liked his acting, to be very honest. It was very sincere. And the way it plays out is he has witnessed a crime on which the whole plot of Suspicious Partner is kind of based. And it drives him to do what he is doing in the drama. I was quite convinced that if you're a participant to a crime, you should be paying for it. It may not be the harshest punishment, but you should be punished for it. But people tried to justify saying that he didn't actually commit the crime and that triggered the person that he was. But I'm not convinced about this. I do think that he was a villain at the end and he deserved what he got.
I have two examples in literature which have conflicted me most. One is Mahabharata, where even the best characters, Pandavas, are not flawless and they have also unleashed some wrongs. So that entire epic is full of characters who are not exactly good or who are not exactly bad. The other book was Wuthering Heights. What do you girls feel about Heathcliff? Heathcliff was abused by the female lead's brother and father throughout his life. And that was his whole motivation to become like that. Even though he was in love with the female lead, he brings only misery and unhappiness to his own child. He brings misery to even the next generation. He does that. So do you think that he was justified because bad things happened to him and converted him to he was? Because he was an innocent waif when he was brought to the house and then he was abused. Do you sympathize with Heathcliff?
No. Not at all.
Not really. But I understand what drove him. It's not my sympathy. I know that he must be punished for what the crimes he's done. But I understand what has triggered it. But here, I couldn't even make that connection.
I was conflicted when in college because I was so confused when I read this book. I was barely 17 and I know he did bad, but he was also an innocent child when he was tortured like that. And I said about this to another friend of mine and she said this to me. And this is a sentence that I repeat to anybody. Just because something bad happened to you, just because that you were a victim of huge injustice, it doesn't give you a right to unleash injustice to the rest of the world. Because that way, it will just keep continuing. It's one never-ending loop. Because everybody wants to avenge the injustice that has happened to them. After I settled that feeling with Wuthering Heights, I've not for once, like Queenal says, I understand what drove them, what was their motivation, what led them, but I have no conflict about the fact that they did wrong and it didn't deserve to be. I don't feel conflicted about it. The actor was pretty good. His trauma about witnessing that crime comes across pretty well. And in a manner of speaking, he's pitiful as well that he spent his entire life, that he could have lived well, doing better things, enjoying his life. He spent it on revenge. You feel pitiful. But I have no conflict that he should be punished, that he was a bad guy. Not every person reacts the same way. A lot of injustices may have happened to you, me, and a lot of other people I know. But none of us actually come out and taken revenge like that, right? So it's about you as well.
Yeah, and I think it's the point where is there somebody there to guide you? And when you're all by yourself, and you know, we had this discussion on Ashin of the North also. When you're all by yourself and there's nobody to stop you, it's a trigger and then you're on path of destruction.
Another conflicting character is this character in City Hunter. He's not an outright villain as such. So some injustice happens, a country disowns him on a covert operation that he was undertaking. And he decides to avenge on that on a country that disowned him. So this guy kidnaps the son of his friend or colleague or the person he thought was responsible for disowning him as South Korean. And he brings up Lee Min-ho as a weapon. Lee Min-ho's entire life is dedicated. Even though his mother is still alive, even though his father is still alive, he has to live away from his parents. And he has been trained without any proper education just to be this martial art person. And you know what? Because innocent child, the childhood is an age where you're most impressionable. He still loves his father. Even though he's treated cruelly, he doesn't get one kind word, one sweet word. He actually loves his father, who he does not know that where he has been kidnapped from. And he does his best, the best possible, to make him happy, which is to unleash revenge on this set of people, and which is what the entire 24 hours of drama is dedicated to. He wasn't abusing the kid as such, even though he wasn't letting the kid live his own path or his own life, and even though he did take him away from his loving mother, who lived in agony of not having her son throughout her life. So he did a wrong which cannot be even set right. There is no way that time can be brought back. But he was not an out and out evil. He thought that he was doing something for noble cause. What do you say about that? Bringing up a 5-year-old as a revenge weapon.
I think you feel very sorry for the whole thing, but when the drama starts for this particular character, it just feels like a revenge drama initially. But the point that you brought out, you feel so much worse for Limino's character in that towards the end, when he realizes about the last character he's supposed to take revenge on. When he realizes the truth about that character. I don't want to give away that twist. So, but when you realize that, your heart goes out to him and you feel like, what did he have to go through? Why did he have to go through all this? And somebody was just using him. And he also feels used at that point of time. He's so conflicted whether he should take revenge or not because of this new discovery that he's made. That feels wrong and, I mean, mean of that person to do that to Limino.
Yeah, and your heart is torn apart because even the adult Lee Min-ho loves his adopted father so much, despite knowing that he has not been treated very kindly, despite knowing that he has not been showered love like other parents do, despite that he loves, because that's how innocent a child's heart is. Reminds of the scene when the children are willing to do whatever they need to protect the adults.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we've covered a lot, and you cannot miss fantasy in K-dramas. Sangeeta, you want to wrap up with your favorite villains?
No, as if real life villains are not enough, evil fellows are not enough, evil family members, boyfriends, colleagues are not enough. K-dramas have to introduce these fantasy villains, right? Supernatural villains. We are not able to deal with real life people, and why do you have to do this to us? So, like, say the Imugi in Tale of the Nine-Tailed, the snake character, aptly named that way. Imugi is supposed to be this king of snakes, and in Goblin, a drama that is spanning centuries and centuries together. But there is this ghost who is just after the main lead characters throughout their lives. And the King Eternal Monarch also. This thing, King Eternal Monarch, is one big fantasy parallel world. All this totally different worlds and everything, right? And that evil character and the flute, it's supposed to join, and destiny that they've attached to it. There is so much story that they tell with these supernatural things and supernatural villains. Oh my God, why do you put so much thought into bad guys? I mean, as if we don't have enough villains, K-dramas get us all these extra villains who we are supposed to make sense of their world, their ages, their generations, their motives. Oh my God, my brain is getting taxed.
And there is only so much evil we can handle. So I think we will now be wrapping up. We've given our listeners a lot of yes. dramas and villains to go and opine on. So I think we should call it a day.
And I think we should also clarify that none of the villains we were conflicted about. But I hope we did enough to address the conflicts if you had about the villains we discussed today.
Exactly. If you liked our episode, do send us your feedback. Our email and voice message links are in the episode notes. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handles are also in our episode notes. We will be back with another fun episode of Crash Landed on K-Dramas. Until then, Aniyo!